From the Notcast, episode 253, Insatiable Fooda Lust.
I have to, what spawned this particular episode title? Because
it was an image I sent Fuzz that I thought was really funny. T.G. Weaver does these really, he does very simple comics, but they're very expressive. And this was just
involving Fudas?
Yeah, it's
Fooda Shy.
Yeah, it's like, Fooda Shy is here to fuck every pony. Get in line, here bitches. And then the strap-on falls off. She's like, oh, sorry, mistakes were made. It's just a funny little comic.
Yeah. The facial expressions, everything looked great.
Mistakes were made.
So I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fonz Wolf.
Yay! And we're all alive. It has been a week. Actually, it's been longer than a week since we last recorded because it's been two.
No, don't let them in on the secrets!
Oh, no, yeah.
Our behind-the-scenes staging of episodes. And
yeah, behind-the-scenes catching up so we don't cram episodes together. Because we needed all that sweet, sweet downloads.
Episode in your mouth.
It makes our EPs just get massive.
Oh, yeah.
Had nothing to do with the fact that I was fucking exhausted after my trip up to.
Yeah. Oh,
God, did you listen to last week's, by the way?
No, God, okay. No.
Q and
no, Amy. God, no.
Oh, God, no. Wait, what does that mean? You know, I would listen to this shit. Is that what you're saying,
Shiva? Did you say ship?
Shit. Is that what you're saying, Shiva? You're like, oh.
She's like, I may be God, on this show, but I can't fucking listen to it.
I would
it.
Not
God.
Filthy my ears listening to the Notcast.
Ugh, those people.
Fucking furries.
Truly the worst.
Gross.
Maximum gross.
They're not an upstanding heterosexual Christian like myself.
Nope.
Shiva's trying to swallow her disbelief.
She's choking on it. That's not good. So yeah, it's been a week. There's not been a lot going on in the magical world with the furries.
No particular large dramas that I've seen.
Just lots of planning and projects and stuff going on, but nothing like exploding, nothing major happening. It's nice and quiet. Knocking on wood there. That's particle board shit. There.
Particle
that's wood.
Board. Particle.
That's not the only one that went through.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, wait a minute. Particle. You know, someone said particle.
Been going to the gym and working on projects. I can now deadlift 175. And
I have no idea if that's good or not. I'm a girl.
I don't either. I just smile and nod.
And, you know.
Yay, more than three-digit numbers.
I hear you're sportsing really well.
I'm sportsing really hardcore. I mean,
You're gymming really hard.
I whipped my shirt off and posed for Fuzz, and he was suitably impressed.
It's like, oh, God. And I criticized him for not ripping it off, and he was like, fuck you, it's my Voltaire shirt. I'm not going to tear it.
Yeah. It was on Tuesday, we were like, because Jaren's going to the gym, and we were talking about it, and, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been going to my current gym for the past almost 6 months now.
Mm-hmm.
We joined like January 1st, and I've seen a lot of progress, made a lot of gains, squats and oats. Ooh. Been doing my workout routines and the strong lifts 5x5.
That comic, it's yeah. So
glutes for shoots. I did almost kill myself by thinking of a funny comic while lifting heavy things.
Oh, God.
So
that's the way to rip something, you know, internally.
I don't listen. I listen to music while I'm lifting because I don't want to listen to, like,
something
GCC or I don't want to listen to, like, Kevin Smith podcasts.
Because
if I laugh, that'll make me lose my focus, which could make me drop the barbells, and that would be bad.
Yeah.
But even then, my subconscious was trying to kill me. There's this god-awful comic. It's, you just Google glutes for sluts, S-L-O-O-T-S, and you will find it. It's like the first image is like at a bodybuilding forum that someone has linked it to. And it's this guy doing squats in the this god-awful way.
Goose for the sluts?
Yeah. And the dude's face. I just had this mental flash. I was doing squats at the time with 165 pounds in the barbell. And that's, you know, that's not insignificant. Especially for someone who started like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So it's just like, holy fuck, I'm laughing. Oh God. And I did get the barbell onto the rack, but it was like, Jesus Christ, I about died because my brain thought of something funny while I was lifting.
I'll see you, Myron.
Yeah. Yeah, squats don't go down that far with a barbell.
Just the face.
Yeah.
It's a bright red with the roar.
It's the only bit of color in that entire comic. So, yeah, I've been doing that. Just weightlifting, cardio. My resting heart rate is, or even my exercising heart rate has gone down by like 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm obviously getting much better cardiac health.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because it's like, I was having like, when I first started, I was like going like 3 miles an hour. I was like, oh God, walking. And my heart rate was like 150.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like doing 3.6, 3.8 miles an hour on the treadmill at like the fourth degree setting. And it's only hitting like 30, which is fine.
Cool.
That one?
Yes, glutes for the suits. Shiva has found it, and it is a thing.
What the fuck?
So, Fuzz, tell us about your adventure today.
Oh, I wasn't on the train at the time.
Yeah, it was. Luckily, it was something you saw, though.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, I'm seeing the signs and the tweets from our local, our public transit system has a couple of Twitter accounts that they put alerts and shit on. And they're like, there's an accident near this train station. So people on this line of the train are going to have a delay. And I'm like, fuck, well, surely they'll clear that off by the time I get off work. Cause that was like 2 hours before I got off work or an hour and a half. Yeah, no. So it took me about an hour and 40 minutes between when I left work and when I met these guys at the restaurant where we had dinner before coming over to do the podcast. And they had us change trains twice. So I was on a total of 3 trains to get home because they had to maneuver around where the wreck was on the train tracks. And what happened was one of our light rail trains crashed into one of those big ass flatbed trucks with the big flat metal back part that they use for moving construction cranes and tractors and shit around on.
Moving like an 18 wheeler, like a front end loader around on.
Yeah. And it literally bent it in half. And I am using literally in the correct sense here, not in the ironic sense. The train bent this flatbed in half and wrapped it around a concrete wall. And the front of the train was badly damaged. And not just that, but every fucking window on the right-hand side of the train was broken. Either completely shattered and gone, or just broken. It got less as you went further along the train. And we passed it on the other track. And I was just like, holy shit, I've not seen a wreck. Like, it's not like it just hit a car and obliterated it. It hit a fucking solid metal 18-wheeler. And, I mean, the only way it could have happened was the guy got stuck on the tracks during a traffic stop, or he tried to run the train arms coming down or something like that. I don't know, but it was on one of the news sites. 7 people were injured, including the driver of the train, broke both legs. Oh, geez. Which really sucks. I feel really bad for him. And I'm not at all surprised it happened. I'm just amazed that he's alive, because he'd be being right in the front of a train like that, you know. And those things, they're big. They don't stop on a dime. So it would have been one of those situations where he came down the track, saw the trailer, went, oh, fuck.
And started trying to stop.
Yeah. And, the whole side of the train was tore up, because it would have just raked itself across the metal of the trailer for a whole, like pretty much the whole length of it. So there's this massive, this train length chunk of track was inaccessible because there was a dead train on it. And
at least there's only dead train and not dead people.
Yeah, I'm amazed that nobody was killed. But goddamn, you know, and Shiva mentioned this earlier, want to find the driver of that truck and slap the shit out of him, because, I mean, you don't fuck around with a fucking with fucking train tracks, you know? Mm-hmm. Don't stop over train tracks when you're at a stoplight, you know? You know, and our friend Tesser told us this other story when I was relating this at dinner, that he'd been in a car once where he was stopped on the side of the road between the stoplight and the train tracks, and that was fine. And then somebody else came right up behind them and stopped right over the train tracks. So the train was stopped on the other side, so the fucking train driver hit the button or whatever and brought the arms of the crossing gate down right over the guy's car. And he's freaking out trying to get out of the way of the train tracks.
I probably needed a change of shorts.
Yeah, it's like, don't be a dumbass. God damn.
Well, my mate Siam, in high school, his best friend's mom was killed. Her car stalled over a train track, and she got T-boned.
Yikes.
Mm. And it's like, why didn't she just get out and... But yeah, but regardless, that's how... His best friend lost his mom.
Jesus.
So, yeah, it's not something to play around with.
Yeah.
And after every time I come near, I can never forget that fact. Because every time I come near a train track and it's like, oh, God, mm-hmm. Dave's best friend, that comes into my head.
Yeah.
And it's like, scoot, 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 scoot.
It was funny because, like, everyone on our train, like, most people I could hear were grumbling and bitching because we're on to our third train now. We're finally moving again. We're like, what the fuck is DART doing? Why are they doing this? And then everyone just stops and you hear the, oh, my God, as we start passing the damaged train on the other track.
And suddenly...
Like, suddenly everyone is like, okay, well, you know what? I'm okay with this.
You know, this is a very legit reason for our train to be running late. I'm okay with not having been on that train. And I was like, geez, the people that had window seats on that first car, they were probably the ones that were injured. Nothing life-threatening, it said in the article, thankfully, but... They would have been, like, right next to a window that suddenly shattered inward as it collided with an 18-wheeler, you know?
I mean, admittedly, with having a second-story apartment, doing something where I break my leg is one of my biggest, like, oh, shit, that had better never happen because I don't want to try and get up and down those stairs.
Yeah.
With a broken leg.
Yeah. Then your stairs are, like... I don't know if they were, like, built by M.C. Escher or something, but they feel bizarrely steep, you know? I don't know if you've noticed that compared to, like, the steps at my old apartment. Like, yours seem to be steeper for some reason. I don't know why.
They kind of
freak me out walking down them, actually.
Well, I've lived there so long. And
yeah, you probably don't notice it anymore.
Yeah.
But have you ever noticed that, Saverin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, steep stairs. And they're not all the same, at least the first few at the bottom are not the same height.
No, they're not. Which messes with you. But I'm like, oh, God.
Saturn is turning me on here by showing me erotically posed pictures of my waifu pony.
Yep.
Sigh.
Someone else could say something now. Don't just leave me hanging here.
Yeah,
well. I thought you set yourself up just fine.
Yes. That one I hadn't seen before, Saverin, so you'll have to send me a link to it or something.
So we can fap later.
Yeah, it was pretty hot. Who is it hot in here?
You can leave your clothes on.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
I might have to whip it out.
Please don't.
I'm not going to fap in your living room on
the
show.
Get the hose.
Get the hose, yeah. Actually, I do occasionally feel like hot. I hate to say hot flashes, but that's what it feels like sometimes.
So you're going through menopause, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
I got lucky for that.
What else is going on with this? I was going to say,
there it is.
We now have a, for Planet now has a distributor in Australia is selling our books.
So you got that set up finally?
Got that set up. He received his first shipment today.
So now are you doing print on demand over there?
That's cute. Yeah. The printer that I use, this is really cool. They have printing facilities in Australia. And I can, so basically I go onto the website and there's just a drop down menu and I can click whether I want them printed in the US or Australia. So I set it up like an ordinary order. I select the Australian printing facility. I put Jaffa Books shipping address in there for the address.
They call it Jaffa Books?
Yeah, is that an Australia meaning? Australian meaning?
Jaffa's a candy over there.
Is it? Oh, yeah. So my Australian distributor is Jaffa Books, J-A-F-F-A Books. They're on Twitter at Jaffa Books. They're going to be at one of the Australian furry conventions. There's one coming up in August, and I'm going to try to pull up for Planet's Twitter account here because I retweeted it. To see if
that's a Jaffa. It's like a chocolate ball with an orange coating.
Oh, okay.
It's a Jaffa cake.
Well, these are Jaffa candies. But yeah, Jaffa cakes are based on Jaffa candies.
Okay.
So any of you... Okay, so the convention is called RivFur. R-I-V-F-U-R. I think it's a new... It might be a newer con, or maybe it's a con that was something else and changed its name. It's in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. And that is August 8th through 10th.
Middle of winter.
And it's rivfur.com. But Jaffa Books is going to be there, and they're going to be selling some Fur Planet titles. So if you want to go pick up a couple of our books and not have to deal with the time and money of the shipping, you can pick it up at the con. I feel actually kind of good about that. Like, oh, man, our books will be for sale on a dealer's table in Australia.
That's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool, yeah. I kind of like it. And, you know, I'm fine with selling books and having furries that are way too far away for me to hang out with or see or sell to directly, be able to get books there locally. But hopefully if he does well with selling the few titles that he's already picked up, you know, he's talked about ordering some more in the future and he's already getting people asking about it and stuff.
See, now you're going to have to get stuff that has like koalas and kangaroos in it and fucking giant spiders.
I'm thinking the exact opposite. I'm like, but the Australian furs see that shit all the time. So they'll want the more exotic animals like wolves and foxes and shit they don't have down there.
How do you explain us?
Because wolves and foxes are fucking awesome.
Totally.
Maybe you're right, though. Maybe I do need to, like, oh, let's commission some, you know, some down under porn. And you know,
apparently... And it's just all printed upside down.
We swear that when it gets to you, it will look right. Because you're upside down.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a... I mean, we've considered there's a couple people that are interested in doing like a manga-style book. And there's not like... Our printer doesn't really have an option that you just click for manga. So basically, I would have to do the layout upside down and backwards. And then they'd be printing it. And it would look upside down and backwards, but then of course it would, you know, you hold it up and it's a manga. Or whatever, the reverse way.
It doesn't make sense to put English text in a manga style because you don't read it.
That's just confusing as shit. You don't read it left to right.
You're right to left.
Yeah, interesting.
Fucking weebs.
I was just saying I would have to do something creative if I had to.
No, I'm just saying that that's a cool concept, but if it's not like it's not written for a language that reads right to left like Japanese,
there's no reason to force it.
It also could be books for left-handed people like me.
How sinister.
Yeah, print up some journals like that where the spine is on the opposite side. Or I guess I could just flip around an ordinary journal since they're blank anyway.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that. That sucked in school, though, when I had to write, like, in an ordinary way in like a school journal, and like the spiral bind would always be digging into my left wrist. See, these are, this is the suffering of the 10% minority of the left-handed people. You know, my people, we are so oppressed.
Yep.
You know, it's no, I better look into it. I better look into it and see if I'm even allowed to marry a right-handed person, because that might be a bigger problem than the gay thing.
Yep.
Because Tyrion's right-handed. They might not want intermixing of handedness, you know, because the hand jobs would get all wibbly.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, Fuzz.
Yeah, I'm just taking this train of thought to its illogical conclusion. Okay, so I'm going to read an email.
Yes, you poor oppressed being.
Okay, I'm going to start from the bottom and work my way up. Okay, this is an anonymous Tumblr question from a couple weeks back. Okay, I've been working, quote-unquote, in the furry art community for 9 years, though I am currently on a forced hiatus. They said, get the fuck out. When I am allowed to post again, I am looking forward to really pushing myself to work more often, stream more often, etc., in the hopes of getting more business. My problem is this. I don't draw porn. It just makes me uncomfortable drawing such scenes, though I respect those that like that type of art. My question is, will my refusal to draw porn hurt my ability to make money off commissions? Yes. Next email. No. Do you guys want to talk about this at all?
Yes, it will. But, I mean, it depends on also where you're marketing. I mean, if you go for, like, DeviantArt, the DeviantArt crowd, you might have to draw some more Sparkle Dogs, but they largely won't request porn because being a younger demographic.
Mm.
And there are artists out there that just don't do porn. You just kind of have to be standout.
And, you know, basically make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's also kind of like, if you don't draw porn, you'd better be fucking amazing. Like you said, stand out.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, this is not, this is not a knock against you at all, but just saying.
Sex sells, and that's true in or out of the fandom. So, yeah, that's, you know, a voracious art market that you won't be able to tap into, but
there are plenty of people that just do cutesy stuff, too, so.
And plus, there's degrees of porn. There's everything from
Nudes to
pinups to
hyperherm tar shitting dick nipples.
Yeah, I mean,
of the 12th dimension.
Yeah, what he said, and insatiable feudal lust.
Yep.
That's another category of porn. But, like, I mean, and okay, so Blotch is a bad example because they do porn, but at the same time, like, Nordgard does really well.
Yeah.
And it's not pornographic at all.
So, Sophie Cover doesn't do adult stuff, last I checked.
Yeah,
unless she does, and then
Under another name.
But I don't know if she does under
another name. Yeah, but I mean, she does a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And she does ponies, and she does her own comic, and yeah, she's pretty popular.
Yeah, I mean, there are artists that don't do adult stuff out there, but you have to be a bit of an exceptional talent to get enough notice.
And you're right about definitely market yourself, you know. Get an ad on FA. I've seen people get ads that just go to their FA profile, and then they have like their commissions list prices listed and shit like that. But you know, advertise, use social media, not just FA. Use Twitter. I hate to say it, also use Facebook. There are a lot of furries on Facebook that put furry accounts on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, I've started advertising some For Planet stuff there occasionally, and we've got a page on Facebook, and there's actually an audience there.
There's also Tumblr.
Yeah, definitely Tumblr, because Tumblr is a big art site right now. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of bullshit on Tumblr, and there's a lot of memes and cat pictures and stuff, but a lot of artists use Tumblr, especially for, like, a sketch blog, and then they'll post some other stuff. And
actually, like, maintaining a sketch blog on Tumblr is a good way to get attention.
Yeah, and participate in the community, reblog other people, talk to other artists and stuff like that. Like you said, streaming. People seem to like that. you know, also taking stream commissions. People seem to like that, too, where they can get a commission and they can watch you draw it.
It's one part performance art.
Yeah, basically, you know. And if you have a personality you want, and you're able to keep up a banter, or you have a good taste in music that can interest people to play in the background, I mean, you know, maybe make it interesting or something. I don't know a whole lot about streaming because I never have time to watch it, really, but apparently it's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I watch streams if they're, like, video games, but I don't watch, like, art streams. I'll pop in and be like, what are they drawing? Mm-hmm. Ooh, I'll see that later, or ooh, I'll factor that later.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't.
That's like, what I think when I drop in one onto streams. I'll be like, oh, I'll be seeing that on Hardbush in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Or I'll be seeing that in blah. Or they'll be putting the completed version of that up later.
They'll be putting the completed version of that into a Dropbox to me so I can print it. Quite possibly. I mean, actually publish it, not.
Yes, you know.
Yeah, that came out sounding a little weird, and no, that's not what I meant at all.
It's a slightly different context when you're an actual publisher.
Yeah, I realized it sounded like I was going to, like, print it on my fucking inkjet at home or something, you know. I don't even have an inkjet right now.
I don't think many people have inkjets anymore.
Really?
I would think
aren't they still, like, the cheapest home printer?
They're the cheapest home printer, that's true, but home lasers are gotten a lot more affordable, too.
Okay.
I just know that ink is still retardedly expensive.
Yeah. I've got two lasers and a color cube.
Yeah. So I'm going to read the next email here.
Okay. I'll get rid of that one, since we've read it.
On loving yourself.
This email is interesting because it starts off a little aggressive and then suddenly takes a turn and agrees with us.
Hey guys, been a little bit. I've been playing catch up with the podcast and got to episode 246, where one listener sent in an email about being happy and single. This launched a conversation about the you have to love yourself before anyone else thing. I hate that piece of advice. I hear it all the friggin' time. Read it a lot as well. I hate it more than a lot of other things. It sounds patronizing. I hate it because it's, to me it sounds like, oh yes, you're miserable about being alone, but because of that you'll never not be alone. It's like the need a job to get a job experience, need a job to get job experience, need job experience to get a job thing. I hate it because I don't want it to be true. But I hate it more than anything else because it is completely true. The more I think about it, the more I realize that my balking at it stems from my own two past relationships. I was involved with a girl for 9 months a few years ago in high school, and it ended on a disastrous note. I won't go into specifics, but I've been chalking it up to the fact that high school relationships suck. After hearing you guys talking, I thought for a good long while and realized that the reason the relationship never really worked was because each of us were looking for some sort of validation in the other. And I think that's been my main problem ever since. I don't feel like I'm worth anyone's time, and that makes me exactly that. It's probably why I can't ask anyone out, why I'm sitting here halfway to being the 40-year-old virgin. So you're 20?
Yeah, he hits that in the next paragraph.
So my question is this. How do I, an overweight, out-of-shape 20-something, who feels he has nothing to offer anyone, go about loving himself? Seems like it's impossible for me at this point. But I've been miserable for years, and I don't want to be anymore. There's a mountain of other personal issues I need to tackle, including something with my sexuality that will probably be the subject of another email in the near future. But I feel like this is the most pressing one, and I'd really appreciate help with this. There's nobody else I can really discuss this kind of crap with anyway. Yours, a listener who really doesn't know how to relationship.
So, who wants to go first?
I'll let you go first.
I don't want to go first.
All right, fine. Shiva, do you want to go first?
No.
I don't want to feel like I'm dominating here.
Okay, fine. I'll dominate because I'm the wolf.
You're Fox. So, you can't dominate.
Even
if you tried.
My first thought on reading this email was, I was miserable till I was like 25. Like, and I think a lot of people are. A lot of people I've talked to, like the early 20s, they're like, in some ways they're fun, and in other ways they suck. Because you hit this sort of in-between point where you're either in college or you're just getting out of college, but you're not really grown up yet, and you don't really have that path like to follow after a point where you know what you want to do and you just, you're just kind of floating without a real direction. And it's a hard time, and it's a confusing time emotionally because your brain is still finally in getting to those final stages of being fully developed.
Yeah, there's something that happens between like 23 and 25 where you just kind of come
into your own.
Yeah. But it's also about 25 you start questioning what the hell you're doing, so.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, there's never a bad time to start making positive changes in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all right, you're overweight. You're 20. You know what? You're still doing better than a lot of folks. I'm sure, because I was super fat until I was 30, and I've gotten that shit under control. Find something you'd like to do. Go for walks. Find a park nearby and walk through there. Get exercise. Get off the couch. It's going to hurt and it's going to suck to start. But once you start getting into a more healthy mode of being, you'll start feeling better about yourself and have a lot more self-confidence. I obviously have been going to the gym for a while, been lifting weights, getting them gains, getting too slow to control. And I make little poses here. But, you know, it honestly does make me feel a lot better
mm-hmm.
about myself. Not that I really had a self-confidence issues or, you know, self-esteem issues. I felt like I was a disgusting hand planet for a while, but I fixed that problem.
A whole planet?
A disgusting hand planet.
Wow. I had to write a book about this.
But I decided that I didn't want to die by the age of 35 and got my shit together. And, well, hopefully you're nowhere near the same health situation I was at. You know, you can recognize that, yeah, if you start taking care of yourself now, it'll be a lot better for you in the long run. And that'll help your self-confidence. And that'll help your self-esteem. And when you feel better about yourself, you'll project a better attitude to other people, which can help you.
And sometimes it's not even loving yourself. It's just being okay with who you are.
Yeah.
You know, not looking down at yourself and just kind of being okay.
And it's, you know, you can definitely, if you want to, I mean, you can talk to a therapist, you can talk to somebody professional. That isn't really necessary for everybody. I feel that a lot of people go through this stage in their lives where they're not really sure who they are. And once you figure yourself out, it's a lot easier to, like Shiva said, you know, be kind of okay with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and addressing the physical aspects are one thing, but at the same time, I got a lot better mentally throughout my 20s without addressing the physical aspects.
Yeah.
I can certainly do it now because I don't want to have a heart attack in a couple of years. But that the weight and appearance thing were not really as big factors in how I felt in my 20s, mm-hmm. you know? It was just kind of, it was more of a mental thing of kind of getting in control of myself mentally, kind of not beat up on myself and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, stop saying negative things about yourself is a big one. Like, you know, and I can tell by the email, you probably have this situation where you have these negative thoughts and you think stuff like, I'm a disgusting ham planet. Was it disgusting?
I said disgusting ham planet.
Yeah. You tuned out, I guess he said.
Thought he said hand plant, and I was trying to think of
No. Spherical ham. Planet made of ham.
Okay, that makes more sense than disgusting, because I thought like hand.
Sir, we're crashing into one of the crevices. But no, you know, and so like, stop thinking of those things. Or if you think those things, check yourself, be like, no. Stop doing that, you know? And it's kind of slowly teaching yourself to not look at yourself with the disgust or not focus on
the negative.
Not focus on the less than spectacular aspects of your being, whether physically or mentally, you know, and focus more on the positive.
So it can sound trite, but even some of the most trite sayings have a core you know, and I don't think it's quite what they say about, like, what you quote in here where you have to have job experience to get job experience. I think it's more you have to have a certain attitude about yourself and be on an even keel, not depressive. And once you're stable and you're confident, that's, you bring more to a relationship.
Yeah, and even in, like, job hunting, it's like, it's not going through life like a sad sack or like a defeatist, you know, where you don't really kind of put your all in, you know. You gotta march into that interview and, you know, like, you're gonna grab it by the short and curlies and be like,
"This is my job now.
What the fucking job?" Oh. You know, you scare everybody else out of the waiting room because you're like, "Get the fuck out, bitches!" And they're like, "You know, we were gonna hire 15 people today." You're like, "Well, too bad. I will take all of their jobs."
Hey, bitches, you're waiting, sitting in my waiting room for my job. Ah. Yeah, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I don't think companies really like that too much.
Nope.
Yeah, and then, you know, when they ask you where you see yourself in 5 years, you're like, "Being your boss." Ah. And you, like, take out your sword, you cut off his head, and you suck out his corporate power, and you're like, "Now I will be a corporate dick lord."
Yes.
That's how it works, right? Corporate America. Ah, money.
Numbers, numbers, numbers.
Suits. Business, business.
Is this working?
Yes.
Yay.
So, Chivas' turn.
You have seen Lego Movie, right?
No.
God damn it, you slackers.
We're filthy casuals, I'm sorry.
No, you're just slackers at this point. It's like at the Dollar Theater.
Let's see. Knockouts, check out your week on Twitter.
I archived all that bullshit.
It hasn't refreshed.
Okay.
Let me see.
I'm like, "Motherfucker, what's going wrong?" Get me all mad. See, Savard's got me all out of control and shit. His swole is affecting me. He's a white swole.
Omen the Wolf asked a question. "I've always wanted to get a full fur suit, but I've always been scared to pay someone over $1,000 to make a ship one to me, as it could be horribly made, and there would be nothing I could do about it. Is there anyone you would suggest, possibly known from experience, that can be trusted to make quality fur suits, which can be shipped across the U.S.?" We're not suitors, so, but there's a number of ones on FA, and you can always cross-ref their stuff with, like, Artist Beware. Usually you can find out if somebody's on the down low with, you know, are they reliable? Do they do a good job? And that's where I would start.
Yeah, I have a friend who is a suit maker. Her name's Kilcodo, K-I-L-C-O-D-O. Her site's KilcodoCostumes.com. I know she's done quite a few. Yeah, I'd certainly trust her.
Didn't we have a first suitor last year?
Yeah.
For Fiesta?
They don't do full suits, though. They just do partials and pieces. They do some fulls, but...
What are their name?
That was Moon... I know the suitor's name was Moniyacha and Kiara, and it was Dream Vision Creations.
Okay.
Actually, that's actually a good idea. Look at fursuit makers that are actually invited as guests to conventions. Because more often than not, those people are going to be the ones that are the more...
And have good reputations.
Known and more reliable, even though that means that will probably be a little more expensive.
Yeah, by the way, you're on the low end of the scale with $1,000.
You might get a partial there, but not a full suit.
Yeah.
And
to get a quality and reliable one, even a partial might cost you more than that.
Yeah, it really depends. Actually, I wonder if...
I would even say average out 3,000-4,000 probably. Yeah. And I know it can go way up from there. It's weird how much I know about fursuits just without being
picking
into
up
them.
The,
yeah, you just talk to people and you see stuff on Artist Beware. And,
yeah. You know, about... So, actually, this is actually something that our listeners could pitch in about. It's like who fursuit maker, people who have fursuits.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
who have you had good relationships?
Who have you had good relationships? Write into our emails or leave us a note on Tumblr, and we'll mention it next week.
Because, okay. Yeah, fursuits are not a question that really fall into our wheelhouse, because...
Yeah.
I could actually, you know, now that I'm losing weight, I could probably get a fursuit at a reasonable cost. Not that I will, mm-hmm. but I'm like, I could.
Okay, so I guess it's my turn now. Yep. I was trying to find Killy's website there, so I need to pull my Gmail back up. Okay. All right. So this one is split into two because he forgot to add his signature, so I'll hit both of them.
He also forgot to give us the link.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, you could probably Google the facts.
Yeah.
Canada has crazies too, eh? Dear Notcast, just so you know, has its crazies too. A story about a Christian school trying to add a law school accreditation to the list of courses, but two of our provinces has decided not to in the ensuing lawsuit by the school. Here is the link for the story, and to make it even crazier, a lawyer is suing the BC, the province that the school resides in, for giving them the accreditation they asked for. And... I pull up the other one. Sorry. Forgot to sign off. Skylar, the furry Christian Canadian. And yeah, we don't have the link.
I'm Googling that shit.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm seeing stuff from April and May.
Tell you what, let's do this. Let's go ahead and put the show on break. And you can Google that in the break time, and we'll come back and do the ad.
Okay? I'll look for a dong.
Okay, so we will be back in just a moment.
Waiting for buses, waiting for planes, waiting for doctors to patch up your pains, waiting for lovers, waiting for peace, waiting for waiters and lazy police. We'll be right back. stop with the guessing. Don't look at the clock. The hours are laughing, the months only mock. Waiting forever is only a crime if you find that waiting is wasting your time. And through all this waiting, we don't stop to see if the reason we're stalling is reason to be all the things in our minds we're wanting to be. But make sure you're in the right line, and someday if we wait, we'll be fine.
Gotta find that story, but I think...
Okay.
Don't need those. You got two of them.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the story. Come on, wake up. And let's see. Basically, okay. So basically, the Christian liberal arts institution requires the students to sign a covenant abstaining from sexual intimacy that violates the sacredness of marriage between a man and a woman, and it basically bans gays from the school.
Huh.
And basically they're like, well, we're not going to accredit your faith-based school.
Okay. Yeah.
As for law. So your kids are going and getting a law education, but it won't count for shit, so...
Yeah. Okay, so that makes more sense now.
Yeah.
A little bit less rambling than that guy said.
So, do you have an item for us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're ready.
Well, we've been back, because he just explained what the thing was about, so let's just keep that in.
Okay, yeah. We're back, yo. That was the song was Waiting by Look Left from their album Waiting. Check them out.
By Look Left.
Yeah, it's lookleft.us, I think it is. I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
All right. The item this week from Adam and Eve is a Sex and Mischief Bed Bondage Kit.
Ooh, Sex and Mischief. That sounds good.
Yeah, I thought so, too. It's $39.95. It's got I'll get to the ratings in a moment. But we have a coupon code. It's not KNOT. It lets you get half off of the item, so it'll take you down to $19.98. And it'll get you free shipping. So, nice little kit. And let me get back to the item.
What all's it got in it?
It is a bunch of straps and cuffs.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, it's a tie-down kit.
Hmm.
It's got 4.5 stars, 68 reviews.
So, only one more review, guys. Somebody buy this and be that one more review to be the 69th.
Because reasons.
Yes.
This one says it even fit with room to spare king-size bed, so it's good.
That is actually pretty good.
And it says, this one says fits California king.
Oh, good.
Let's see.
For some Californication. Oh, yeah.
Let's see, this one says, this the one of 3 stars says that the restraint cuffs are permanently attached to straps, making the attachment to the body a bit hard. Would have liked to have the cuffs with hooks for the straps. Well, it's only a $40 product. Most of them are 4 and 5 stars. People seem overly happy with them. It's a set of cuffs. There's 4 cuffs. Straps for the bed. Let's see. So you can tie people down in all kinds of positions. They're padded Velcro cuffs. They're fully adjustable. Tucks under mattress after use for discreet storage. And the kit includes 4 60-inch long restraints fastened to a 60-inch long strap. So, and they're completely resizable. Let's see. It sounds pretty good, actually. And you can get it for under $20. So, it sounded good to me.
Awesome. Sounds good. Operators are standing by.
Not us.
Buy it?
No.
FAP now. Was it my turn to read one?
I
You did. Didn't you, Seven?
I thought we did two full rounds.
No, I haven't read yet.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right.
Dear Notcast, I'm a Box Fake Fox, and I have a suggestion. Why not do an episode on the wonderful niche of furry hypnosis? Hypnosis is relevant to a significant sector of the furry fandom, from innocent become your fursona experiences, to spirit animal explorations for those inclined to such belief systems, to a diverse range of kinky things. Perhaps you could have a hypnotist as a guest advisor or something. Many happy returns, a Box Face Fox. Not opposed to it, don't know any.
Yeah, that's like, that sounds like it could be cool.
But, like, again, don't know any.
Guided meditation and, like, all that stuff's kind of cool.
Mm.
But I don't know anybody.
We could find someone to, like, hypnotize us into thinking we're dogs, and then, you know, Wooly Saver and I, we could lick our balls. Our right. own balls, not each other's balls, for a change.
Yeah, I've been sure trying. I can't do the pose.
Too. So
I don't know. I haven't seen any shipping of Saturn and Isa.
I don't think there's Notcast fanfics.
Buzzrin, Savile.
I'm pretty sure there's not any Notcast fanfic.
Rule 34.
Or Notcast Rule 34.
I'll write some.
Well, here we go. It's Fuzz and Saverin fucking on the couch, except the couch is you. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. Shut up, couch. Oh,
I run out of lube. Lube!
Yeah, you guys get right on that.
Oh, God, Jeeves.
Just slop, slop, slop.
No, Jeeves listens. That might not be a good thing.
Oh, Jeeves, write us some Notcast.
No. No.
You don't want to be the couch for our love. Our fuck surface.
Okay, so MCFC.
Mm-hmm.
Motor City Furcon.
Yep.
Okay, I was like, okay. Hello, Notcast. Upstar Wellington here, the prim and proper English-sounding aunt. Hello, Notcast. Upstar Wellington here with my MCFC counterpart. Fun! Now on to the real report.
I'm going
to
keep doing that while you read.
Fun. Personally, had a blast. This is my second furry con, and by far the one I had the most fun at. Met up with countless awesome furs and went to a fair amount of panels. All in all, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Didn't have to run from building to building just to watch something or to go eat. There was plenty of downtime just to relax and enjoy the company of all you fellow furs, so cheers. It was also fun talking to Tiptoe, the rat, and getting a new badge from Titicata. All in all, I just can't say enough good things about the con and can't wait to go again next year. Your friendly neighborhood aunt, Upstar Wellington. He included a link to FA. What is it?
I think it's probably his journal.
What is it?
It's his badge.
It's a badge. That's actually kind of cute. Up. That's cute.
Up. Badge commission. Wait. Okay. Titicaca. Titicata. Titicaca. Lake Titicaca. Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm.
The security certificate for Vigilink is expired and is throwing up warnings on FA. Good job.
Well, what is that? FA's?
FA has... There is that thing...
I said this happened a few months ago. Have you refreshed the cache or anything on NetGadget recently?
I don't know, dude. I don't normally use this device, but yeah, security certificate on CDN.vigilink sent is expired. Connect the site, my picture conference. That seems a bit sketch. I will just kind of go away from FA. It's probably a thing on my device, but you know, whatevs. Also, Night Elf females have fangs, but they don't have tusks. They screwed up.
Wait, what females have?
night elf females have night like elf. Vampire fangs.
Oh.
Okay. They do?
Yeah. The new models.
Huh.
Well, if night elves roared, especially the females, they had like little fangs slash tusks on their lower jaws.
Hmm.
That was like the whole shit. Trolls and night elves are like the same thing. Well, apparently they kind of are. Trolls came first. Wow, lore faggotry. Never mind.
Fast forward this part. You want?
So that's cool. The MCFC went good.
Good.
It is always nice to know that, hey, furry cons don't tend to explode.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Because it's going to be an explosive summer in the brony community.
Try not to sound so pleased about it.
Okay.
Sill.
What?
It's a Doctor Who reference. But no, it's looking to be a very interesting pony summer, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's two more emails. Chiva, Fuzz, one of you. Read.
Oh, I'll go.
Swole.
I think I missed... Well, I'll take the other one because I don't think I was here when we read the initial one.
Okay.
Public and outdoor fucking, how did I miss this subject? I had not cast it. Seriously, how did I miss this subject? It's like one of my biggest turn-ons. Question is, where do I start? I guess I should go chronologically. My first time outside, it was 23 degrees in a tent, and he couldn't keep himself hard.
I wonder why.
He was an older panther. I was 18. Him, 25, I think. The second time was with my best friend, Snow Leopard, his husband. Not a furry, but he's hot. I had both of them in me on an air mattress. The husband has back problems. We were still in a tent, though.
Wait. By the...
Hmm?
Reading email.
He said the first time was 18 and 25, so that was legal.
Yeah.
If that's what you're concerned about.
No, that was not it. The both were in me, and I'm like...
One in each end.
I guess.
Yeah, or double penetration. How do you prefer to think about it?
Yeah, I'm like...
I prefer to think that, like, both his dicks are in their mouths and all four of their fists are in his ass.
Let's see. The husband has back problems. We were still in a tent, though. By the way, didn't mention this, but both were, like, 2 years older. The air mattress deflated, and later I got bent over a fallen tree and ended up with poison oak falls.
Oh, God.
I'm allergic to poison oak. A lot of people react to poison oak. However, there is a big difference between reaction and allergic reaction. Third time was in a church. I was bent over the altar thingy, and now I'm going to hell faster. I also got bent over my pickup's tailgate off a road beside a river. It was around 40 degrees, and it was cold but fun this time. The most recent time I've had sex outdoors was in a horse stable, and damn was he hung. It was a casual thing. We talk sometimes, but not too often. Opposite sides of the country. But that's all the stories I can remember at the moment. Hope you guys enjoy them. Avoiding poison oak. Fisk.
Goddamn. Just alert reaction to poison oak on your balls. Ugh.
Ugh.
Do you still have a scrotum?
And how do you explain that?
Pretty easily, actually. It's like I had to shit in the woods and squatted over some poison oak.
Yeah, I can see that.
Not, you know, I got bent over a log and fucked by a dude.
Yeah.
It was squatted over poison oak accidentally. Ow, my balls.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll read the last one. Thanks for the advice.
Yay!
Dear Notcast, thank you for reading my email in episode 252. My mate has known about... Oh, okay, all right. Oh, this is interesting. Okay, my mate has known about this ex since we got together, so the worries that I was hiding this from my mate were unneeded. I'm glad that you thought of that nonetheless. I was actually unsure whether originally to tell my mate and had been questioning that decision. Otherwise, though, I plan to block the ex of all contacts this evening after I get a chance to explain to him what's going on. I know your advice is to cut it off then and there, but I feel I owe him that much. Fair enough. I also have a question about my current mate and our LDR. He lives with a very conservative family and is worried that if they ever found out about us, that they would flip and kick him out, or possibly even worse. Now, while I understand that this isn't uncommon, it bums me out that we can't even text, as his parents do at least partly monitor his phone, and a text from far out of state would raise alarm bells immediately. We both are aware of this, and we have agreed to talk on our usual chat site and Skype call when he can. But I'm honestly getting upset over this limited contact we have. It's been almost half a year since we got together now. I know it was kind of close since the breakup with the ex, but my current boyfriend and I have been good friends for a few years now and felt that we could make it work. And I honestly don't feel that much closer to him. That was all on the side there. Sorry. Sure, we talk a lot more than when we were friends, but we're always tiptoeing this line of his parents and them finding out that I'm worried our caution will make us unable to fulfill the full potential of what this relationship could offer. Do you have any advice for dealing with this? Thanks again, and I'm sorry for yet another wall of text, Graphite the Pegasus.
Sounds pretty young. Still living at home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if he's not young, he's still living at home. And,
monitoring.
His parents monitor his shit, and that's not cool.
It's really not an ideal situation to cultivate a relationship.
No, it is not. Shit, I don't know, man. Honestly, the fact that you can still talk and be friends is great, but if he's still living at home in an environment where he fears either losing his house or violence against his person, as indicated by or worse,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's really not a situation where he... And I hate to say it, should be in a relationship, not because his parents are right or anything, you know, that's not our point, but for his own safety, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit, I'm going to guess he's 18, 19, still living at home, not going to college yet, but it might be one of those situations where he just needs to basically keep it on the DL until he's out of the house, and, you know, his parents have paid for college. And it's a situation that's far from ideal, and it's not easy, and it's not fun. But, you know, if it is an actual legitimate safety issue, and I'm pretty sure that you don't have the resources to move his ass out where you are,
mm-hmm.
and you are probably pretty young yourself, you know, while I don't... Did he mention his family situation, or his... Graphite, did he mention his family...
I don't remember. I don't remember if he did last time. He did.
I mean, it's not like you can just bring him to your place.
Yeah, that may or may not be an option. I don't know. It doesn't sound... I get the feeling that it is not.
Contact is going to need to be necessarily limited, probably for his own safety. And that sucks. And it's terrible that that's still a thing in 2014 in the United States of goddamn America. But unfortunately, that seems to be the case for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm almost like... It seems like the LDR should be the least of the...
His
boyfriend's concerns, yeah. Like, getting out of a potentially abusive situation in a conservative area probably be the top priority, and then he could start actually having a life. I know this is going to come off as sounding like, oh, these damn kids today, but when you're younger, you got all the time in the world, and I'm kind of like... prioritize, you know, you will have all this time later on once he gets to a safe place to have a life, you know, he needs to work on building his happiness, and he can only really do that by getting out under the boots of conservative family, you know?
And that might come with time, depending on how old we're talking, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, there are no ages listed here, but we're having to assume fairly young.
Yeah.
18, 19. Not at college yet.
Yeah.
Because I know there's, I mean, still monitoring his text messages?
I mean, if they ever got a snifter of an idea in the past that he might not have been straight,
That's true.
And then, yeah, they're going to monitor everything about him until he's out, as long as he's in the house. Even if he is over 18 or over. You know, and some families are just paranoid like that anyway. Yeah. You know, if they're super religious or something and they worry about him getting impure thoughts or something like that. You know, but yeah, I mean, my advice is almost kind of like, your boyfriend almost needs to kind of put the relationship issues aside. I mean, in a way, it does give him hope for something, having a relationship. But, yeah, it's a situation where you don't really have a lot of options for getting any closer or getting any more contact. I mean, just make that work the best you can and have him make sure that he is actively working towards getting the fuck out of there would be the best thing I could say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the impure thoughts, I actually read interesting in a disgusting kind of way article today that there was a prom that this community had for homeschooled children. They basically brought 500 homeschooled children together so that homeschooled kids could still have a prom. Heavily religious community. And this girl, who the picture I saw, you know, she looked pretty
beautiful, but not,
she looked great, but it was like she didn't look like extra sultry or anything. I thought it just looked like an ordinary dress to me. It didn't look too short, but basically this young lady, the 17-year-old girl, was basically kicked out of the prom because
her dress was me.
They said that the dads that were chaperones were ogling her, and they were concerned about their sons having impure thoughts towards her.
I must have missed this story.
Yeah. This isn't really like a GLBT issue or anything. This is just religious fundamentalist Puritan society bullshit. But it's sort of like, and somebody pointed out in the article that this is the same as the victim blaming in sexual assault cases. It was like, oh, it's her fault that
you can't control yourself.
Yeah, that you're ogling her, or that your child is getting a horny thought about her, so she has to change. And it's like, one thing they said was that she's 17, but she's genetically gifted with the rather large bosom. But it wasn't like too. It wasn't like her tits were hanging out of her dress. I didn't think so.
It adhered to their dress code, no less.
Yeah.
It very.
And,
sorry, honey, you're just too hot. Why don't we go over to my trailer?
Yeah, that's basically what it came down to. Sorry, you were too hot to be here. And she even cited, like, the dress code thing on the length of the skirt was something like it had to be, like, a half an inch beyond the fingertips if you stand with your hands to your side. And
it has to go past the tips of your fingers.
Yeah.
So, like, below the knee.
No. It would fall mid-hip, basically.
Usually your hands end, like, partway down your thigh. So this had to be slightly, if you stood like this. So
a little bit above the knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her dress hem was below her fingertips.
And so she met code.
And it was not what I would consider a super short dress. I've seen way shorter dresses on like 12-year-olds at the mall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, God damn. I mean, I'm amazed. Like, yeah.
It's like, does your mom know you're going out dressed like that?
Did your mom dress you? Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but yeah.
I shouldn't be having thoughts about a 12-year-old. Well, I'm sorry.
I wasn't, but I was sort of like, that seems a little short for barely out of childhood to be wearing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're an exceptionally hot midget.
Yeah.
You must be this tall.
Yeah, I must have missed that story. I have a t-shirt
that says you must be this tall to ride.
But, yeah, homeschool proms, purity balls, yeah. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, oh, the whole purity ball thing is fucking creepy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, daddy-daughter dances. It's just the only time there should be a daddy-daughter dance is on your fucking wedding day.
Yeah.
But just the whole ball set up like that, I'm just kind of,
and it's
like,
all primarily the girls. The boys don't necessarily get it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, boys will be boys, but your daughter's a slut.
Yeah. So it's Just the nature of this world that they've built is baffling. It's like daughters have to maintain their purity forever. But boys will be boys. They're going to fuck around. It's okay, but don't fuck any other boys because gays go to hell.
But if girls fuck, then
who are they fucking? They can't fuck the girls because they're all wearing chastity belts. They can't fuck boys because they'll go to hell. I guess that's going to the farm animals.
I was going to say, a lot of these rural boys, you know, there's barns around here. That their horses look give me a long face.
No.
Why the long face, honey?
Let me cheer you up.
God. Yeah, that is one of those things that we could probably, like, look at some articles, get really fucking mad about, and go on a couple hours about, because goddamn.
Yeah. Just fucking retarded, and it's like, yeah.
But dude, remember, my parents very briefly flirted with that world, and I was part of it for a very short
while. Oh, I know.
And it's fucked up. It's fucked up. I kind of wish that I could find a couple of copies of the magazines.
Uh-huh.
That, like, that my parents got as part of the membership. Mm-hmm. And my parents were pretty conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Not really funny, but they were pretty conservative at the time. And this was magazine they got, and they were like, the fuck?
What's this bullshit?
Yeah, so...
I don't really want to stone your sister to death for not, like, wanting to do the
vaccinations
laundry,
are... Trusting in Satan?
Wow.
What? And
girls that don't wear long dresses are sluts in training? Makeup is Satan's...
Gateway drug?
Satan's gateway drug? You know, non-acapella music is an affront to God?
What?
I'm just thinking of the dances where you see, like, the chaperone walk out and separate the boy and the girl. It's like, whoa, 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 leave room for Jesus.
Or they put a balloon between them.
Squeak, squeak,
dude,
squeak.
Hey, I'll fucking admit, when I was younger, I had been brought up to fully believe that if it wasn't Christian, it was of Satan. So if it wasn't Christian pseudo-culture, it's like the parallel culture that they tried to invest and create, and did in a large extent... It was like 100% Satan ramming his thorny cock up my ass forever.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, these kinds of things still exist today.
You know that
obviously
needle they use
I got a
to give
lot
you vaccinations?
Better.
It's Satan's penis.
God.
Jeez. That's not medicine.
So on that fucked
that's
up note.
Demon cum.
It's 10:18, and I think we're... pretty much done here.
Stick a fork in us.
Next week, write in about the fursuit thing. If you know fursuit makers that, you know, recommend some to our listeners, because we don't fucking know. I mean, you mentioned Kilkoto, and we've had a couple come to Furry Fiesta, but I don't know fursuits.
We're not fursuiters.
Mm-hmm. So if you guys have gotten a suit from somebody you'd recommend, let us know. Also,
take some recommendations.
If any of you guys have survived homeschooling, let us know. shit, what else could be?
On the topic of the fursuits, I saw a guy that repeatedly, this was a few years ago, but he repeatedly commented on different threads on FA looking for someone to build him a fursuit. He didn't want to spend too much money. He had about $85. And I was just... And people were telling him, dude, no.
So
that's not fair. I don't have that kind of money.
So what he would need to do is go down the highways and make himself a possum skin fursuit. It's going to take a while and it's going to smell bad, but you can get one. Now, I don't know. You might spend more than $85 than gas. And you got to get some of that denim thread.
Yeah.
Just drape yourself in the skins of dead possums.
Oh, God.
Use their tails to glue them together, make your own tail.
But I'm not a possum. Beggars can't be choosers.
So, yeah, let's put a fork in this one. We're done.
But I'm a squirrel furry. Oh, that's going to take you a long time.
So, on that note,
good night.
And big balls.